Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
First things first, Kyler and the Cardinals off to a red hot start in the desert. Red Hot's underrated candy, by the way. Is Arizona suddenly a legit Super Bowl contender?
Rex.
Carson Wentz sidelined again, this time with double ankle sprains. He has sprained both ankles, didn't know it was even possible. Is it already time to panic in Indianapolis?
Cold.
Let's just go ahead and assume Nick sneezed and wasn't laughing at Carson Wentz. And only 12 days until number 12 returns to New England's visiting locker room. Is Belichick's legacy tainted for letting Brady and Gronky walk out the door? Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, and our resident Patriots fan, Kevin Wilds. This is First Things First on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, everyone. Nick, regrets? Yeah, I think Belichick's got a few, no? After what he's seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, Wilds maybe disagrees. I'm excited to talk about it. Belichick's legacy tainted. Was he ever even that good? Should they have even hired him? These are just things people are asking.
Oh, we're going all the way back.
It's just things people are asking.
We're going all the way back. We'll head up to New England, but we got to head first to Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers told us this team would bounce back, and they did in a big way. We got a little Lions, we got a little Packers. It's Monday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers on target all night, throwing darts to Devontae Adams and Robert Tonyan, hooked up with Aaron Jones for three touchdowns as well. If you had hands, you were catching balls from Aaron last night. Four touchdowns and over 80% of his 27 attempts completed. Packers beat the Lions 35-17. Aaron Rodgers improving to a perfect, look at this, 7-0. Following a loss in the Matt LaFleur era with 20 touchdowns. How about that? No picks. Seems pretty good. Here was the MVP after win number one.
Earlier in the week, you said that there wasn't a change in preparation, but was there a change in attitude, especially after some of you guys said maybe there was some overconfidence going into the Saints game?
I don't know. I just guess I think we maybe tried to show that we cared a little bit more tonight.
Obviously, you cared last week, but do you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying? What do you mean? How do you protect that?
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that. I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Wow. All right, Broussard, let me start with you. Which was more interesting last night, Rodgers' four touchdown performance or what you just heard, his post-game comments about getting the trolls off his back?
Well, it was obviously the comments by far. All right. What he did on the field was not surprising in the least bit. Is there anyone that thought they were going to go out and lose to the Lions and Rodgers was going to play poorly? He did exactly what I expected him to do. Yes, they waited two quarters to get going, but still, that's what I expected from Aaron Rodgers and from the Packers. Now, the comments, that was interesting. There's a part of me that would like him to be more like a Lamar Jackson, maybe even a Pat Mahomes, where you just ignore the outside noise. But then as I think about Aaron Rodgers' history, and I think about how in high school he wasn't highly recruited, how in the draft he falls to the late first round, how he had to sit out his first 3 years of his career behind Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers is a guy that plays his best football when he has doubters, when he's paying attention to the skeptics and the haters, and he has a chip on his shoulder and feels like he has something to prove. He won a Super Bowl in his third season when people were still wondering, is he really a guy that can replace Brett Favre? You know, and then last year, You know, after the Packers go out and draft his replacement, to use his words, Jordan Love, he goes out and has what I think is the best season of his career at age 37. And after an offseason in which he's getting a lot of love and he wins the PR battle with the Packers, and then he sits down with Aaron Andrews and tells her, I have nothing left to prove, he just happens to go out and play the worst game of his career. All right, so then he comes back with what he did last night. Now the chip's back on his shoulder because the trolls are back out. I actually think it's a good sign, Wilds, for Packers fans that Aaron Rodgers feels like he's being slighted again, like there's out people out there running their mouths a little too much about him. I think it's a good sign.
Are those people, Broussard, did you take offense to this comment? Because I think that you might be one of the people that he's talking about, Broussard. Because he went on Pat McAfee's show and said, a performance like that, you know, warrants a little bit of criticism. And then he's like, you know what? I'm done with that. And then Nick broke out his Aaron Rodgers impression. And you said that he can't perform in the clutch. So Aaron Rodgers is now name-called. He is calling people trolls because he wants that fire inside him that you said that you wanted to see. So did you take offense to this comment since you mocked him relentlessly last week?
None whatsoever, Wilds, because all I do is point out facts. I just pointed out that he struggled in the NFC title games, which is a fact. So that I don't troll him. I just point out facts. And it's lighting a fire in him, though. And like I said, good for Packers fans.
Okay, so in Aaron's defense, while Broussard points out facts, he does omit one specific season in the story arc of Rodgers is always the best when he's doubted, which is when they were the defending Super Bowl champions. That next season was the best season of his career. He had 45 touchdowns. He had 6 interceptions. He had a then record 122 passer rating, and the team went 15-1. Now, they lost their playoff game to the Giants, and if you want to say, yes, you don't win the Super Bowl every year. Agreed. But I don't know that I buy into the idea that Rodgers' excellence ebbs and flows with whatever his public approval rating is. I think his excellence is pretty consistent throughout his career, except for the years he had his collarbone snapped. So I'm going to be the outlier on the show, I guess. I'm going to say the more important, more impressive, more interesting thing was what he did on the field. The 4 touchdowns, the 0 picks, and specifically one play. Because if people didn't watch this game, the end was a blowout, but it was not a blowout throughout. And this is 3rd and 12 to open the second half in a, at the moment, a 3-point game. Look, look at this. Just watch this play right there. That seems like a pretty important spot for the Green Bay Packers. And Rodgers made a throw that there's one other human being on the earth that regularly makes. 3rd and 12, we know you're throwing. I've got about a 2-foot by 2-foot window to drop it into. We're trailing the Lions. We're losing. Like, if they punt there and the Lions go down and score, we're having a totally different conversation. So I think the more interesting and impressive part was the actual game, where I will agree with you, Broussard, and I'll throw it to you, Wilds, because I think you're on a similar track here. It's very clear, and Rodgers does not hide it, he has rabbit ears. And not only does he have rabbit ears, what's an animal that talks a lot? A parrot mouth? I'm not sure. That's probably not the right. But my point is, you text me during the day, and you were like, is it weird to you that Rodgers is doing interviews like he was on Rich Eisen's show on the day of a game? Like, he has the weekly hit with McAfee. He's more interesting in the press conferences than most quarterbacks. He is accessible at a level superstar quarterbacks almost never are. I have a relationship, off camera, off the air with Patrick Mahomes. He won't come on this show because during the season, he basically only does his mandated media appearances. Rodgers, it seems like if you've got his number and you got a relationship, he'll come talk to you even if it's 9 hours before kickoff. So I do think, Wilds, there is an interesting angle to it. But I think his performance last night was so excellent, it overshadows any of the comments.
Yeah, and I just want to dig into something Broussard said last week, because I think that you're right, Broussard, that you said you wanted to see him play with a little more anger and a little bit more of a chip on his shoulder, and that would sort of bring out a better performance. I think that his sort of quietness and his sort of understatedness belies how much anger he has boiling inside of him. And I think that troll comment was sort of like you just saw sort of the tip of the iceberg. When people said like, hey, did you show that you cared? He's just, now he's trolling the media. Like, yeah, we cared. I didn't care about last game. So do you think that this is, do you agree with me that you think that sort of the anger here is going to fuel him to a better season than we expected?
I don't know about better than we expected, because obviously he's coming off an MVP year, but I think he's going to have a typical Aaron Rodgers year. And Nick, I wasn't saying he's been inconsistent his whole career. He's been great for the most part his whole career. Like you said, he struggled a few years before LaFleur got there, and now he's been resurrected. But when he's won, and I would, like I said, I would say last year was his best year, but it's arguable. But he was very great last year because of the anger. So while I hear you, his personality isn't to be too volatile on the outside. But inside, I do believe he's boiling. And I do think guys like Devontae Adams and some of the guys, Randall Cobb, that he's closest to know that. And I bet you they think he's out to prove something again. And this is a good sign for us Packers.
Well, we saw most of it last night for Aaron Rodgers. Seventh game ever with at least four touchdowns and 80% passing. Only Breeze and Peyton have had more such games. So we'll see if the trend continues next week. We're back talking Carson Wentz. The injury bug has bit him
yet again.
Is it time to hit the panic button
ankles.
In Indy?
That old
ask these
bug
guys next,
bit
first
him in
first.
Both ankles.
The old time for Tron Blank. You two get along. Talking Carson Wentz, after Colts head coach Frank Reich revealed yesterday, Wentz has not one, two ankle sprains. Sprained both ankles in Sunday's game against the Rams. Reich said that his status is still up in the air. Wentz has dealt with injuries six of the last seven seasons, going back to his senior year in North Dakota. I mean, take in the list, find a body part he hasn't injured. Chris Broussard, Carson Wentz's injury should have Colts fans feeling blank. Let's just put that on the same line. Foot and ankle.
Yeah, as you said, Janice, injuries, not injury. And they should be feeling deja vu. Deja vu for two reasons. One, Wentz has been running for his life ever since the season started. He's been sacked six times. He's been hit 21 times. And they have got to do a better job of protecting him if they want to give him a chance of getting through the regular season. We remember the last quarterback they had that took shots. All right, that was Andrew Luck. And his career was cut short because he took so many hits behind that sorry offensive line in Indianapolis that he had to end his career after 6 years. Now, this offensive line is pretty good, but it's banged up, and they haven't been able to protect Wentz. And he is on pace to be sacked 10 more times than Andrew Luck ever was in a season. So I said they got to give him a chance to stay healthy, Nick. That leads me to my second point. This is just Carson Wentz. All right, deja vu. Yes. This is just Carson Wentz. You saw the list of injuries. It dates back to even high school. They found injuries at college that dated back to high school. And so he's been in Indianapolis a few months and already had three injuries. The foot injury, then the two ankle injuries. When he comes back from these ankle injuries, I hate to say it, it disappoints me. It's sad, but it's probably going to be we're just waiting for the next injury in a few weeks.
Of course.
This is deja vu, unfortunately, for them, because Carson Wentz can't stay healthy.
Yeah. And it's why, while you mock my Atlanta Falcons playoff pick, they're still alive, by the way, it's why some of us thought picking the Colts to make the playoffs was abjectly insane, because the Carson Wentz injury was inevitable. And some guys get hurt by fluky stuff. Some guys consistently put themselves in jeopardy. Like Carson Wentz, it's not like he's been a little unlucky, but he also never takes the "I'll live to play another down" approach. He's always throwing his body around there. He's always trying to extend the play. And some of these are his own doing. But if I'm a Colts fan, I'm angry at management. Frank Reich and Chris Ballard got to look in the mirror and say, did we see this coming? If the answer is no, why not? If the answer is yes, then why was our answer Jacob Eason? Forever in Indy, pre-Andrew Luck with Peyton Manning, they never cared about the backup quarterback position. And Bill Polian was asked about it once. Why don't you ever practice, use your backup quarterback at practice? And he said, because if Peyton gets hurt, we're bleeped. And we don't practice bleeped. That made sense because Peyton never missed a game ever until he missed that whole year late in his career. You knew Carson Wentz was brittle. You knew he was injury prone. And to not trade for Minshew, to not trade for Foles when he was writing love poems in the media to Frank Reich, like, oh, please come save me from Chicago, and to be like, nope, Jacob Eason, he's our plan. You could have beaten the Rams. It was a tie game when Eason went in that game. You could have beaten the Rams, much less compete for this time Wentz is inevitably going to miss. So this is, I don't blame Carson Wentz for being Carson Wentz. I blame management for not recognizing who Carson Wentz is and having a legitimate backup plan, Wilds.
So I buy your Gardner Minshew thing, bring his jean shorts in there. It sort of is, gets a lot of attention, but I don't think that would affect Carson Wentz. Do you actually think they should have traded for Nick Foles? Don't you think that would be sort of the poison pill in the locker room?
Well, but here's, so what? You know what's the poison pill in the locker room? Having an emotionally and physically fragile quarterback who now can't play.
That's it.
Like, I can't be.
He was sensitive to having
so
someone behind him, and you've been saying that, Nick. Yes.
Yes. But you can't. Okay, so I can't be having Broussard. I can't be having my quarterback be an injury risk, and, but we can't bring in a quality backup because it'll throw off. Listen. You, what did Carson Wentz do to earn all this? Because he was good for 13 games 4 years ago? God bless. So was Jared Goff. I mean, give me a break.
Well, that, Nick, yeah. They knew it was a roll of the dice. They knew it was a roll of the dice, and they figured, let's try to reunite him with Frank Reich, under which he played those great 13 games, and maybe it'll work out. Nick, it would have been over before it started had they brought in Nick Foles. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And we just saw Aaron Rodgers be upset about them bringing in a backup, a rookie. So it
is Aaron Rodgers.
Tom Brady got Jimmy Garoppolo out of there with what, five Super Bowls
Those
to his name?
He
still didn't
something.
Want a backup out there.
No way.
And Foles just hasn't been that good anyway, other than the one run to the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't get it. I don't know what you're supposed to do there. You're supposed to, all right, we've got Jacob Eason because he's not that good, so you can't get Nick Foles. You can't get Cam, that means. You can't get Gardner Minshew. Cam said his aura would distract any team, never mind Carson Wentz. So I think the whole thing is odd. Anyways, my answer is Taylor time. Last five games of the season, Jonathan Taylor had 650 yards, 7 TDs. But like Broussard said, this banged up offensive line. Go Badgers, Jonathan Taylor's only got about 100 yards, 0 touchdowns. So we need that offensive line to get going. Just give it to the old Badger, let him run wild. Take a little pressure off the quarterback. Go Badgers.
I was going to ask if you knew where he went to school, but I feel like in many ways you know where he went to school, so I'm not even going to ask you that question, Wilds. Moving on to Kyler Murray. Kyler's odds to win MVP on Fox Bet Sportsbook have skyrocketed from plus 1,600 to plus 700 since week one. Are the 2-0 Cardinals suddenly a Super Bowl threat? Ooh, that's next. First things first.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Time to run the no huddle. Let's talk 0-2 teams. Here they are. The winless through 2 weeks team since 1990, over 88% of teams that have started 0-2 have missed the playoffs. How about that? So it's an uphill climb for this bunch. It is possible, however. So Chris Broussard, which 0-2 team do you have the most faith in?
Well, look, I'm not off the Colts. I picked them to make the playoffs, but we just talked about them, so I'll go elsewhere. Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings. Look, they started their first two games on the road. And they could easily be 2-0. They should definitely be 1-1 at least, all right? So they lose to Cincinnati in overtime. And then you just see it, 4 seconds to play. Their kicker, who had already missed an extra point earlier in the game that had him down a point, he misses a 37-yard gimme field goal. So I think the Vikings are actually much better than their 0-2 record suggests. Mike Zimmer, I think, is a solid coach, even though he is on the hot seat and might find himself on my under pressure list going into this week.
Yeah. Ooh.
But I think they can bounce back because Kirk Cousins is playing well. I'm not saying he's a star, but he's a very good quarterback. He's an above-average quarterback. He's got 5 touchdowns, no picks, and Dalvin Cook remains one of the best running backs in the league, almost giving you 100 yards a game. I expect the Vikings to bounce back at some point. Schedule's tough coming up. Seattle, and
that's
then they
the
got
problem.
Cleveland. But Cleveland. I think they'll come back this season and make a run for the playoffs.
So, yeah, I think they needed to get at least a split in these first two, if not win their first two, because they're going to lose their next two, and then Mike Zimmer won't be on the hot seat because he won't have a seat. He's probably first coach fired if they start 0-4. Bad luck. The Vikings have been bedeviled by the kicker position for my entire adult life, dating back to Gary Anderson, the missed chip shot in the playoff game against Seattle. They just have never been able to get that position right. So I think they're in trouble. I am going to stick with the Atlanta Falcons. You might say, Nick, have you watched them through 2 weeks? I have. But when I picked the Falcons to go to the playoffs, I had them starting 0-2 anyway. Because look at what's coming up. Oh, you get to play the worst team in football. Oh, and then you play Washington. Then you play maybe the next worst team in football. Then a nice bye week. Then the Dolphins, who, by the way, is Tua going to be healthy? Who knows? Look at the quarterback list they have. Jones, Heinicke, Wilson, whomever the Dolphins are starting, Darnold, Jameis. That 0-2 is, mark it down, write it in blood. The Falcons will be 5-3 at worst, going into the Cowboys game. The offense got going a bit in the second half against Tampa. That game against Philly was a disaster, but we're going to throw that one out. They're about to win 3 in a row. That's a guarantee. And then they're 3-2 and feeling better. I still think the Falcons are a sneaky, alive playoff team, Wilds.
Okay. Well, lucky for me, this pen filled with blood. So I'm going to write it down. Write it in blood. thanks for that. My mom got me this blood pen. Came in handy. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? Okay. Would anyone be surprised if the Seahawks made it to the Super Bowl? I wouldn't. Would you be surprised if the Rams made it to the Super Bowl? No, a lot of people haven't the Super Bowl. So I'm going to say the Colts, because those were the Colts' first two opponents, and the defense hasn't looked great. But that might be because Russell Wilson is awesome, and the Rams' offense is awesome, never mind their defense. So when you look at the Colts' defense, I think they are going to get back to where they were last year, hopefully get a little bit better. Now, the one problem is you got the Titans. Are the Titans going to – is Jacob Eason or Carson Wentz going to be able to exploit a pretty bad Titans defense? Or are we going to see sort of like an explosion of this Colts offense, back and getting the job done? So Jonathan Taylor, let's
start
working.
Where did that guy go to school?
We'll see who's that quarterback for the Colts. I believe in the Colts.
Probably Wisconsin. Let's flip to the undefeated through 2 weeks grouping. These 7 teams are in the driver's seat, most expected to see the Bucs, maybe the Rams, but how about Vegas? How about Denver? How about Carolina all crashing that party? So, Broussard, which 2-0 team do we need to pump the brakes on?
Jen, the Carolina Panthers. All right, unlike Wilds and many pundits out there, he's got some help. He's got some support with him. I'm not ready to crown Sam Darnold after just these 2 games. Okay? I'm not ready to blame all of his turnovers. He was a turnover machine in New York. I'm not putting that all on the New York Jets. All right? People act like the Jets have never had any success at quarterback. It's just not true. A lot of that was on Sam Darnold. So I'm not ready to say this guy's going to be a Pro Bowler and lead Carolina to a great season into the playoffs. Look, they beat Cincinnati. I mean, no, not Cincinnati. Who was their first opponent? Their first victory was over.
They beat the Jets.
A hapless.
The Jets. The terrible Jets.
The Jets. There it is. the Jets. All right, so I'm supposed to fall in love with them because they beat the Jets. I get it. The Saints were horrible, and in that game, and they looked, you know, they had beat the Packers, so you give them love for that. But I'm not ready to jump on this Carolina bandwagon. The defense is legit so far, but again, you face the Jets and bad Jameis. Jameis not going to be that bad going forward, so I'm off the Panthers. Jameis.
Oh, yeah, good one. Thank you, Wild, saying it, so I didn't have to. Dark horse. Listen, I'm not high on Darnold either, Broussard, but I have to be open to the possibility that that defense is excellent. I mean, they have 10 sacks through 2 weeks, best in the NFL. So I'm not against you on the Panthers, but I am not as sure as you are that this is an aberration. Maybe they just have a great defense that year and that can carry them. By the way, they do get the Texans and Davis Mills this week, so they're almost assuredly going to start 3-0. But I want to pump the brakes on one of the most fun teams to watch with one of the best quarterbacks in football. And that's Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Now, Kyler's excellent, even though a couple times a game, he's going to throw it to the other team. And they're also probably going to start 3-0 because they have Jacksonville. But then they're going to lose a bunch of games, and Cliff Kingsbury's seat will get deservedly hot. Rams loss, Niners loss, Browns loss. In fact, I will go as far as to say this, to tie these takes together. After 6 weeks, the Falcons will have a better record than the Cardinals because the Cardinals are going to go from 3-0 to 0-3. Then they have the Packers and the Niners again right after a good win they'll get against the Texans. I do not think we should be impressed by Week 2 Wilds. That game was lost. The game was over. They are on the field for a 37-yard field goal to beat them. They had nothing to do with the fact that the Vikings kicker shanked it. So they already should have one loss. I think they've got a bunch more coming up. I think it's a brutal division. And as good as Kyler is, I think it's a poorly coached team. I think it's a team that's going to be more susceptible than most to injuries due to some of the age of their big offseason acquisitions. So I love watching the Cardinals, and Kyler's a ton of fun. But I don't think, forget contender, I don't think they're a playoff team.
Okay. Buckle up for this one. My answer is the 83-mile-per-hour Bucks. Here's why. I think the Bucks are a good team. I think they're a solid team, Broussard. I'm not bailing out on Brady and Gronk and the whole squad. That being said, it's like when you're driving down the highway, you're like, ooh, you know what? Going a little too fast here. Got the cruise control on 83. Why don't you just bring it down to 78? Still very fast. Get you where you want to go. Probably unsafe, to be honest with you, everybody out there. Why don't you bring it down to 65, old speed limit, like your buddy KW. But just take it down a little bit. We saw Patrick Mahomes not be able to do anything against that defense. Is that true about Dak Prescott? No. How about Matt Ryan? Did they shut Matt Ryan down? Not really. And the offense is cooking so hot, Broussard. We see they're scoring so fast and so often. I just don't think this pace continues. So that's why. Just to take it down one notch, just from 83 down to about 77. Okay? It's fair.
Fair. Wow.
So that's not really
the
a non-belief.
Wild says the Bucks are fraud.
Seven some doubts.
That's just a little advice.
Believe. Pump the brakes.
Yeah. Pump the brakes.
All right, well, speaking of those 83-mile-per-hour Bucks.
You still believe.
Let's talk some Brady and Gronk, the duo that just won't quit. Does Bill Belichick now regret watching the two of them walk out the door? We discuss next, first things first.
Oh, I love this topic. I love it so much.
Time now for stories to start your morning, brought to you by Subway. And let us get our party on like it's 2011, because Brady and Gronk are already there. Brady leads the league with 9 passing touchdowns. Gronk leads the league with 4 receiving touchdowns. And they both lead the league in conversations around a kiddie pool. They are quickly approaching Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison's record for most TDs by a QB receiver duo. Only 12 behind them. They are right there. So, Nick, should Bill Belichick regret letting Brady and Gronk go?
Well, I mean, only if he wants to feel regret for what appears to be trending towards the single worst sports decision since a different Boston team made a pretty big error And that was when the Red Sox sold Babe Ruth to the Yankees. Oh, Nick is overstating it. Well, am I? Because here's what happened. The owner wanted Tom Brady to stay. The fans wanted Tom Brady to stay. Tom Brady, if we are to believe him, always wanted to spend his career in one place for the entirety of it. So why is he a buck? Because starting 7 years ago, Bill Belichick, keeping to his mantra, better be early on a player than late on a player, thought Brady was nearing the end. By the way, so did I. The difference between Belichick and I is I watch Brady play on television. Belichick coaches him every day and runs the team. But Wilds, 7 years ago, Bill Belichick said, you know what? Second round pick, Jimmy Garoppolo. We haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years. Start to look forward, you know, to the next chapter. Brady responds by winning a Super Bowl. 2 years later, Brady responds by executing the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. In that offseason, Tom Brady wants Jimmy G gone. Belichick won't do it. Even though Brady just did the 28-3 against the Falcons, nope, Jimmy G's staying. So Brady has to go to a manager. May I speak with a manager, please? That manager is Robert Kraft. I want him gone. So Kraft trades away Jimmy G. Brady wants to be there longer? Not sure. So what happens next? Brady gets to another Super Bowl. That next year, Bill Belichick says, hey, you know Rob Gronkowski? Detroit Lions, do you want him? You can have him. We'll trade you to him. Gronk has to threaten to retire to veto that trade. How did that work out? Well, had they traded Rob Gronkowski, they probably don't make the Super Bowl because Gronk made the three biggest plays in the AFC Championship game against my Chiefs to make the Super Bowl, and then in the Super Bowl made the only explosive play. So Gronk walks away after that. That offseason, Brady wants a contract extension. Nope, can't have it. Then he puts his house for sale. Then he's gone. Now the Patriots are on Mac Jones, Jonnu Smith, instead of Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski. Wilds, I defended it when it happened, but we now have evidence that the Patriots did not have a plan at quarterback and that Brady had way more left than any of us could have possibly expected. So how is this not as big of an error as any executive has ever made in sports history? Oh. I don't see how one could argue it isn't.
Okay. So I'm going to go through two. First, I want to talk about Gronk, Broussard, and then I want to talk about Brady. So what you said about Gronk, that was Gronk was threatened to be traded to the Lions. He said, I'm going to retire, came back and played great. I don't think those things are totally divorced. It's almost like Bill Belichick lit a fire under Rob Gronkowski, and Rob Gronkowski got focused and played great. Never mind the fact that the Rob Gronkowski that we are seeing now is benefiting from a year off. Rob Gronkowski's games missed in his last few years with the Patriots. 3-2-8-1-1-9. I'm happy that he is succeeding right now, and I actually think that he might start a trend of like having a gap year where you don't retire. You say, you know what? Maybe. I'm going to take a gap year. I'm going to get my body healthy, and I'm going to come back. So that's Gronk. Happy for Gronk. The Brady stuff. Look, it takes two to tango. Do I think that after 20 years of grinding and being sort of at the razor's edge of what Belichick demands to keep a franchise from a laughingstock to greatness, being right there on the razor's edge for 20 years, can that wear on a guy? Yeah. Do I think that you want to be treated differently when you're 42 years old than when you're 22 years old? Yeah. Do I think it's just a natural divorce? Do I think Belichick is sitting there like, you know, I should have done this. I should have done that. Belichick did try to do those things. Did they bring in Antonio Brown for a game because Tom Brady wanted him? Yes. Did we draft a wide receiver in the first round because Brady needed more weapons? Yes. But Belichick explained that we put some of those championships on the credit card and the bill came due. Tom Brady wasn't willing to go through it. So be it. I think Belichick is happy for Brady, not super regretful. I think he's focused on the Saints. And then we'll see week four in the biggest regular season matchup of all time. So do I think he regrets it? Not really. I think he's too busy focused on Jameis Winston.
I wonder how happy he is for Brady. First of all, he's an opponent. All right, so you're not happy for the success of opponents. And then since you raised this guy up and had so much success with him and then jettisoned him, I'm not sure he's happy. But to answer the question, Does Belichick regret it? I don't think so. Yet. He will regret it as time goes on, but I think it's too early for the regrets. Should he regret it? Absolutely. And I won't go as far as Nick, you know, with this is the biggest mismanagement in the history of sports, but it's huge. And this is what happens a lot of times to executives and coaches when they have great achievements in sports. A lot of times they think it's all about them. They think it's all about how much they contributed to the success, or about them just having the right to go out and see if they can do it a different way. I point to David Griffin, the GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers. After LeBron James got that city its first championship in any major sports in 52 years, David Griffin, who owes most of his success in the NBA to LeBron James, says he was miserable. And it was, you know, LeBron made it tough on him to handle. Come on. It's not about you, and it's not about you having fun. Belichick let his ego and, as Nick said, his philosophy of get rid of him too early than too late, he let that get in the way of what was best for the football team. Tom Brady, I said it, his last year in New England, he was still a very good quarterback. He led him to 12 wins with no weapons at the skill position. But he was no longer good enough to carry mediocre skilled players to championships. All right? So what they should have done was, and you mentioned a couple tries, I'd say half-hearted attempts, Wilds, at bringing in other players. But they should have gone out and really stocked up in the skilled positions, surround Brady with those players, and maybe they could have made another run. I don't know that Brady, Nick, plays as well in New England as he is in Tampa, just because he's got the weapons in Tampa, and Gronk is benefiting from the year off and from the weapons because he's not the first thought of the defense. They got these other receivers to worry about.
Of course.
But he should regret it, no doubt.
But the Gronk year off thing, I agree with Wilds, it might have done him good. But everyone understands that that when Gronk came, if Gronk was going to take a year off and then consider coming back, he was going to go back to where Tom is. So if Tom was still in New England, Gronk would have come back to New England. Gronk wasn't like, no, I just bought this palace in Tampa, got to live there. It's because of where Brady was. And we can't act like there is no, the whole philosophy, Wilds, and this is the point. And it does, Belichick is a football genius and a mastermind tactician. All of that is true. It's also true that he has some flaws, right? So we know, doesn't scout the receiver position great. Doesn't draft that position really well historically. You love Belichick? I think you would agree with that. Is it possible that the whole get rid of guys early rather than late has bit them more times than we are willing to admit? Like, we always talk about it like it's part of the brilliance. Okay, well, let's go through the biggest names that come to me. Richard Seymour. It's like, oh, my God, Richard Seymour. He helped you win 3 Super Bowls. You got 2 first-round picks for him. Yeah, and then he kept being a really good player for the Raiders, and you guys didn't win another Super Bowl for 6 years after that. Chandler Jones. Oh, wow, you're going to get rid of your best defensive player. Is that smart? Well, I don't know. He just had a 5-sack game and would still be your best defensive player. You tried to trade Gronk. That is a case study. And, in fact, you know what? If we have time, play the Gronk audio when Gronk tells the story, and then I'll tell the story on how this season ended. Play the Gronk audio if we can.
I did have a career-altering trade, almost a career-altering trade, and it was about 2 years ago. I was actually traded to the Detroit Lions, and I called up, and I got the phone call, and this was, I was contemplating if I should retire or not about 2 years ago, and I was like, you just traded me to the Lions. I go, well, I'm retired. Like, I don't know how that trade can go through, and then 2 days later, the trade never went through.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They're going to trade you?
Yeah, I got traded. I told that story before last year.
I never heard that.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, no, I'm retired. How can you trade me? And I stayed on the Patriots.
Yeah, so Wilds, that year, if Belichick had been allowed to do that, you guys don't win a Super Bowl. He made the plays in overtime to beat the Chiefs. He made the only explosive play in the Super Bowl to beat the Rams. So, like, he got it wrong on Gronk, and he clearly got it wrong on Brady. Like, that can be true, okay. Right?
Perhaps. But here's why I'm not criticizing him. Do we think that after 20 years of excellence, Bill Belichick's philosophy works? And I'll flip it to you, Nick. Do you think in 2041, we're going to be like, wow, that Brett Veach still making it happen. 2041, flying around in space cars. You're 60 years old. Do you think in 2041 the Chiefs are going to be a relevant team? Because I don't. Because I don't think any of these teams are going to be relevant. But Bill Belichick made the Patriots relevant for 2 decades because this system works.
Yeah, what I don't think Brett Veach will do is push Mahomes out the door and watch him go win a Super Bowl for someone else. I don't think he'll do that.
Maybe you guys will be good in 2040.
Well, Monday Night Football coming up next on Undisputed.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.